The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Welcome to the experience. Welcome to the High Spot Podcast on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. I am Jeff Martin, and normally alongside the trendsetter, but not today. He's on assignment, checking, scoping out the scene at Boardwalk Beatdown as we get ready to take over there in Atlantic City next week. So he is there on assignment. So I am going to be previewing SummerSlam alongside Jim Varsalone from the Miami Herald. He is our guest this week. And make sure you follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast. Also, please leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Check us out on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean. So follow us, like us on every kind of social media, High Spot Podcast. We would really, really appreciate it. Again, the High Spot Podcast, new episodes every Friday for your listening pleasure. And of course, the High Spot Podcast has our very own YouTube channel. It is up and running. We've got exclusive interviews with such stars as Mia Yim, who is once again in the Mae Young Classic. We've got interviews with Rich Swann. We've got Impact Wrestling Knockout Kara Hogan, who joins. We get so many interviews too. And also make sure to catch snippets of the Impact Wrestling Media Call 2 that is available on the High Spot Podcast YouTube channel, as well as every episode here of the High Spot Podcast is available on YouTube. And also make sure you catch Adventures with the Trendsetter 2 there. Amazing interviews there by the trendsetter Brian Berga with some of the very best adult film entertainers on the planet, so definitely want to check that out as well. But listen, man, let's start off first and on a sad note, and that is the loss of Jim the Anvil Neidhart this week. And you know, this one really hits home to me. And when I told the trendsetter too, he was also emotional as well. Because, you know, when you're growing up watching the Hart Foundation, teams like Demolition, teams like the Legion of Doom, all of these amazing teams that you saw back there where, I guess tag team wrestling was in its heyday. You had the Killer Bees, Strike Force, the British Bulldogs, you know, the Wild Samoans, all these tag teams. And when you take a look at the landscape now in wrestling, one of the key components of wrestling, which is the tag team scene, kind of gets a little bit put towards the back burner. It seems like the WWE doesn't put that much emphasis now on tag team wrestling, or if they do, they'll bring back the Hardys, they'll bring back a team like the Dudleys, but then once again the nostalgia factor wears off, then you go back to either splitting them up, or then they go back to, you know, the back burner. And, you know, it causes you to wonder, man, back in the heyday, back even to the Attitude Era, when you had the Dudleys, you had Edge and Christian, when you had the Hardy Boys, and they were running like they were with those TLC matches too, and you're thinking about just, you know, where tag team wrestling has evolved to now. When you think of wrestling now, you have teams like The Revival, which are trying to bring back old school. You've got a team like the Authors of Pain that kind of, you know, have moved up to the main roster but don't have any direction. And you have a young team like TM61 who's NXT, and you wonder what their future is. The Revival, again, I go back to them. They kind of had a tough start on Raw, and that's sometimes, you know, due to injuries, you can't help that, but that's kind of caused them to not get the push that they've, you know, deserved, because they're the epitome of old school wrestling. But right now, you know, you think of the Young Bucks too, and they're the best tag team out there today. You got the Briscoes too, you got teams like LAX, and although it is healthy, the tag team division right now, you wonder, you know, if WWE will ever put an emphasis on that tag team division like, you know, you'd had back in the 80s and back in the 90s, and also the Attitude Era. So it makes you think of a heyday. But going back to Jim the Anvil Neidhart and hearing the news of his passing at 63 years old, you know, it's way too young. It seems like we say that to about everyone when they pass. You know, 70 is too young, 75 is too young, 61, 63 is definitely too young. And when you see more of the wrestlers you grew up watching pass away, and you know, today I was YouTubing a lot of old stuff, and you get to the point where you don't think about you know, the moment, you think about who's left and who's still with us. And that's It's sad. And, the Anvil, of course, had his ups and downs. Of course, you remember him from the WWF back with the Hart Foundation, and then he had the run with the Hart Foundation where it was him, Owen, Davey, Pillman, and of course, Brett. And when you take a look back, a lot of people have pointed out on Twitter, on social media, that Brett is the only one left of the Hart Foundation back from 96, 97, which I don't like pointing out. But if everyone's going to beat it, like a dead horse, and they're going to show it to you, then you're going to take notice, too. And it's sad most, more than anything, So, again, our condolences go out to the Hart family, to the Neidhart family, to Natty, to TJ. It's definitely a tough time. I know Natty has kind of, broken her silence and went on Instagram and put some nice thoughts out there and put some nice pictures out of her and her dad. And, again, I'm going to remember, and it's on our website, highspotpodcast.com, the maniacal laugh, the tugging of the beard, and we're going to share some memories with Jim Varsalone in just a minute. But I think of all those things, and I think of the power and the force that he was, and Brett was the technician, and they made such an amazing tag team. It was such a dynamic. They just fit together. And, I'm going to go everywhere and say this, and I say this with confidence. I'm pretty sure the trendsetter will say it too if he was here, and that is that the Hart Foundation are, if not the best, one of the best. If you have a top 10, if you have a top 5, depending on where you rank them, they are up there as far as the best tag teams in wrestling history. Make no ands, ifs, or buts about that. They belong in that pedestal, and they belong in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'm not going to get on WWE here and say, oh, how is Jim Neidhart not in the WWE Hall of Fame? How is the Hart Foundation not in the WWE Hall of Fame? You can't put everybody in there every year. You just don't know when they're going to go, when their time is coming, when they pass on, when they die. You don't know. Same thing goes with Vader. Vader was deserving of it. He should have been there before. But what are you going to do? You're not going to argue with it. But the man did want to go into the Hall of Fame. He wanted to be a Hall of Famer. And you scratch your head at their decision because it's a popularity contest. And you've heard before Vince telling everybody, well, let's put some names in here and I'll say yay, nay. And, you wonder why it took the Macho Man so long to get into the WWE Hall of Fame. But I don't want to argue that point today because I want to remember Jim the Anvil Neidhart for his wrestling and for the contributions he's made to tag team wrestling. His persona is, you remember that persona, you remember that guy. And that's what we're doing here today. This show is dedicated to Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and it is a sad time, and we are going to remember all the amazing moments that you provided us, not only with Bret Hart, but when you tag team with Owen Hart as well, your times in WCW, just everything, your contributions. And, someone said it best, whether it was a legend who said that Mean Gene Okerlund, if you didn't like Jim the Anvil Neidhart, there was nothing wrong with him, something was wrong with you. So that's the kind of guy that he was, and a great father, a great husband, a great friend to a lot of the wrestlers, and all the legends are pouring out right now with their sadness on social media too. So we want to remember Jim the Anvil Neidhart here on the High Spot Podcast. So this episode is dedicated to Jim the Anvil Neidhart. So from moving on to that, we head into SummerSlam, which is this Sunday, folks. You got NXT TakeOver on Saturday, which is the show that, most likely steals the show every time, whether you have a WrestleMania weekend, whether you have a Money in the Bank weekend, whether you have a Survivor Series weekend or a Royal Rumble weekend. That usually steals the show. Will NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4 steal the show once again from the main show, which is SummerSlam at Barclays Center for the fourth time now in the Barclays Center. Of course, next year it's moving to a stadium venue, so this is the last year at Barclays for SummerSlam for the time being. So you have a huge card. And I'll give you my predictions on what's going to happen at SummerSlam. We'll get into that, too, as well. We got Jim Varsalone, who is waiting patiently to come on the line with us. So we're going to get to Jim Varsalone. But I do want to talk on two subjects that I think need to be mentioned. And that is, one is Ring of Honor, New Japan selling out the Garden. That is so historic. And that is such an amazing feat by a company such as Ring of Honor in Japan. And the fact that this was an arena, this is the Garden, the Mecca, in the center of the universe of New York City, Madison Square Garden, that it's not a WB-run show. You know, something that the McMahons have had a stranglehold on, that venue, and the very fact that on April the 6th, 2019, Ring of Honor and New Japan will present the G1 Supercard of Honor from Madison Square Garden during WrestleMania weekend. It will go head-to-head with NXT TakeOver that weekend. It is amazing. It is a feat that you didn't think could happen. There's been a lot of stuff in 2018 that you didn't think you'd see. You wouldn't think that you'd see the resurgence of Impact Wrestling. Well, guess what? You've seen the resurgence of Impact Wrestling. You didn't think Ring of Honor, you know, could get to a point where they'd sell out maybe a 6,000-seat arena as they did in New Orleans, and you had Kenny versus Cody. You didn't think you'd see that, but you did. You got All In that's coming up Labor Day weekend. The biggest independent wrestling show in the history. It's going to be historic. We will be there in Chicago for All In, our podcast row, radio row, for that event. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be insane, historic, on so many levels. You didn't think you'd see three guys, three wrestlers putting their own money and having this show that's taken a life of its own. You have StarCast now that has all these meet and greets, all these things that you get to do beforehand. Conrad Thompson. You never thought podcasting would get so huge, and now he has not one, not two, but three shows that are so successful. You got Something to Wrestle With, you got What Happened When with Tony Schiavone, and you've got 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff. So you have the podcasting landscape, you know, something you didn't think you'd see in 2018, a number one downloaded sports show, a wrestling show, you know, being number one. You didn't think you'd see that, but you did in 2018. You didn't think you would see Lucha Underground come back, especially with all the, you know, with the money issues and having the wrestlers commit and finding a network and finding a funding for it, and you get a Lucha Underground Season 4. We had Marty Elias on talking about it and how the groundswell for it, the underground for it, has seen them, you know, want Season 5, Season 6, and they do something that no other show does. It's episodic, and it's like a drama. It's like a soap opera. Something that we fell in love with wrestling before because it is a soap opera, but Lucha Underground takes it to that other level, and they become successful because they found a niche. But so many things that you didn't think you'd see, and we're not even in 2019. We're about 4 months away from 2019, and we have Ring of Honor and New Japan selling out the Garden in less than an hour when the tickets went on sale. Of course, you had the pre-sales, because if you're part of Honor Club, you have first dibs on that, and that was smart for them to do. It gives you an incentive to sign up for Honor Club, whether it's a month or the year you do the VIP. It gives you incentive. Fight TV, which is an app that a lot of the pay-per-views are now on, and you can watch it through your phone or through your smart TV. You have access to it for StarCast and for All In. All In now will be available on pay-per-view. The first hour, 0 hour, will be available on WGN, on national TV. Who would have thought that would have happened? You didn't, flat out. You could not believe all of this stuff has happened in the world of professional wrestling. And for Ring of Honor and New Japan to be where they're at now, a lot of questions lead up to WrestleMania week in New York City, because you have them trying to sign their wrestlers, because one thing that WWE is not going to sit on their hands. They're going to try and acquire talent. But there's also a lot of free talent that's out there that could make an impact, no pun intended, into the next several months. Take a Chris Jericho, who's popped into New Japan, who right now is having a cruise in October, a wrestling cruise where Impact will take on Ring of Honor his own Wrestling Rager Cruz. And he's made no bones about it that he could change his mind and he could show up at All In, or he could show up for New Japan G1 Supercard, because you know what? Those ties to Vince, they were strong back, say, in last January, where he was only committed to wrestling in Japan for New Japan Pro Wrestling. But now things change. Things change so much. The landscape is changing, folks. And that's why it is historic. That is why April the 6th, 2019, I don't want to hear, hey, well, everyone's here in New York, so it gives them something to do. No. I think this is more of a groundswell. This is more of the niche of the wrestling fan that feels kind of slighted by WWE, who doesn't want to be entertained. They just want to be watching matches and having the stories being told through matches. They are flocking to Ring of Honor and New Japan and All In. So it is very historic. We're going to touch base with that with Jim Varsloan and get his thoughts on what he says about stuff like the G1 Supercard in April, about All In, about wrestling in general. It's not just about the ratings anymore. So we're going to talk to Jim Varsloan of the Miami Herald about that as well. And then the final topic I want to talk about is the G1 Finals, the G1 Climax, where you saw Hiroshi Tanahashi defeat Kota Ibushi in the finals, and now he is all but guaranteed, but he still has to take on competitors on the road to Wrestle Kingdom in January against Kenny Omega. But if he clears all those hurdles, and you're talking about hurdles like a Naito or a Okada, he will go and take on Kenny Omega. Now, why is Tanahashi surprising that he walked away the winner of the G1 for the third time in his career? Why? Because he's 41. And even though he is considered the John Cena of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and everyone loves Tanahashi, it's a little bit surprising. Does Kota Ibushi's contract that expires soon, because he has no contract after that, New Japan's got to negotiate a deal with Kota, is that the reason why Kota Ibushi did not win the G1, especially after defeating Kenny Omega in another emotional semifinal in that block to advance to the finals? Listen, Tanahashi is very deserving to go on to Wrestle Kingdom and face Kenny Omega, but he still has those obstacles. He still has Okada. He still has maybe Ibushi again, and maybe a Naito. So we don't know. But Tanahashi is going to be that fighting person who's going to put that opportunity to Wrestle Kingdom, that briefcase, that opportunity, he's going to put it up on the line. And we're going to find out whether Tanahashi is that guy that goes on to January the 4th at the Tokyo Dome and takes on Kenny Omega. A lot of things can change, especially with guys like the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, because in January, those contracts expire. And will the WWE make that push? Will they? Remember, WWE has that Fox money. WWE wants to maybe, you know, no pun intended again, pull in the reins of a Ring of Honor in Japan. Maybe they're growing too much. And maybe WWE strikes and takes a guy like Kenny Omega or a team like the Young Bucks. You never know. That's why it's going to be so interesting. You know, SummerSlam is this weekend. Yes, it's amazing. NXT TakeOver, it's going to be amazing. Yes. But just the whole landscape in wrestling in general is going to be so very interesting. And that is why here I love bringing you the High Spot Podcast here weekly as we recap all of the news in professional wrestling along with the Trendsetter. Of course, the Trendsetter is on assignment. He is scoping out Atlantic City for Boardwalk Beatdown. Now, of course, we'll make an announcement too of what happens at Boardwalk Beatdown, because unfortunately, Matt Riddle will not be able to join us, but we hopefully will have a replacement for you guys next week, because someone will be at the High Spot Podcast table. We don't know who yet. We're working things out. But, of course, Matt Riddle, will we see him at NXT TakeOver? Will he be in the crowd in Brooklyn for NXT TakeOver? Because, let's be honest, the deal is signed. He has been working some shows here and there. But just the idea of Matt Riddle not being at Boardwalk Beatdown, sitting with the High Spot Podcast, kind of tells you that you're going to see Matt Riddle at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. You got an amazing main event there with Gargano and Ciampa. That is your main event, last man standing. And then you have an amazing set of matches headlined by Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Is Roman Reigns finally going to get the best of Brock Lesnar? Are we going to see that year and a half title reign, universal title reign, finally come to an end at Brooklyn? So many questions, man. So many questions. And we have Jim Varsalone, who's going to join us here on the High Spot Podcast momentarily, and we're going to talk about those things. But, man, it is an amazing time to be a wrestler. And this interview with Jim Varsalone is brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. From cool-looking headwear to great-looking men's and women's shirts, check out their entire summer fashion line by going to collarxelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST. Guys, we're heading into the stretch of summer, so definitely want to make sure you get on great deals and save yourself 10% off. Just type in HIGHSPOTPODCAST. And this week's interview with Jim Varsalone, talking SummerSlam, talking All In, talking Ring of Honor, but first and foremost, we got to talk about the big match between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. So here is Jim Varsalone from the Miami Herald on the High Spot Podcast. Joining us right now from the Miami Herald is Jim Varsalone. You can follow him at Twitter at JimmyV3. It's been a year since we talked, Jim. I think it's becoming a tradition now here for SummerSlam. Every year we got to talk. Welcome to the High Spot Podcast. How is everything?
Thank you. Good. And just like SummerSlam, fourth year at the Barclays Center, their tradition, we have our own second year tradition.
Yeah, exactly, man. So listen, we can't be strangers now. We can't just talk on a yearly basis, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But again, the biggest question for you going to SummerSlam from this past Monday is
the Paul Heyman situation. This is classic Paul Heyman. It's going to, which way is he going to go? Who is he going to help? What's going to happen? Is this just a ruse to try to fool Roman Reigns? Is this something where they're going to eventually team up and be there together, Reigns and Heyman, which I think would be really cool, have those two together, but it just leaves everybody questioning which way this is going to go. And I think that's how WWE always likes it, where it's not just everyone taking one side and thinking this is what's going to happen. It's everybody guessing who will he go with, what will happen. Maybe no one. Maybe Lesnar boots Heyman, Reigns boots Heyman, and you have no Heyman whatsoever. He has to go find something else to do, or who knows what. They'll find something for him. But to me, that's the biggest thing that is in question going into the SummerSlam.
You know, I had a tough time for WrestleMania 31 getting, well, buying into the whole Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, and one man kind of sold me on it, and that was Paul Heyman. We go back now, whew, man, like 3.5 years now, and we get back to the same thing where Roman Reigns kind of is still not growing on the fans. You get that mixture of boos and still no one accepting Roman Reigns, and then you get this matchup now, maybe for, like, already like the fourth time already, and Paul Heyman again is making me buy into this. Now, I don't know if I agree if I would have had Paul Heyman kind of spray him in the face, maybe kind of lead the decision or the betrayal for SummerSlam, but Paul Heyman's really played a big role in this matchup heading into SummerSlam, right?
And they had to do that, obviously, because like you said, fourth time, how are you going to sell this match again? Well, they found a way to do that, and having Brock really seemed like he turned on him and that Heyman's not his friend. And just doing that type, but taking that role is really something that has spiced this up. But I hope that Reigns and Heyman, I've always wanted to see Reigns and Heyman together anyway, so I hope this time we finally get to see that and then see what these two can do together on a weekly basis, because you know you get Brock on a semi every other monthly basis. So it's just, I think just having to see, put Heyman with Reigns, and you have Heyman every week, and that probably will help, I would think that would help push Reigns, and you go from there, and he wins the title, all these things. It's SummerSlam, usually we see big title changes at SummerSlam, so why not have it happen this time? We know Brock is going to be getting ready for a fight, probably in January, in UFC anyway, so this way you can go through that while he's preparing. You have Roman as champ, Heyman's with him as the mouthpiece. They could still go total heel. and play that part and just go from there. And I think they found a way to make this palatable for us, and being it's the fourth time they're meeting up.
You know, it's funny that we are, as fans, you know, a lot of people say they're fed up with Roman Reigns, but what do we start off with every conversation, right? Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns. What do we talk about when we, you know, do our podcasts or do our shows? It's Roman Reigns. He's that lightning rod. So I'm going to stay on that subject here. You know, do you see any other way except Roman Reigns walking out the Barclays Center as the WWE Universal Champion at SummerSlam?
It's WWE, so you just, you never know what they're going to do with things. I would like to see that happen. I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to see Heyman with Reigns and go that route. I've said this from way back. Roman Reigns is the next John Cena, because women love him, kids cheer for him, and us male fans boo him, don't like him. It's John Cena too, and we saw what happened with John Cena and just how he was the lightning rod for so long. And I think that's where WWE can go with Roman Reigns if they want to go that way and do something like that. And I just hope after SummerSlam, it's going to be interesting to me too. Is this the main, and I don't mean to change it because I'm not changing the subject, is this the main event, or will Alexa Bliss, Ronda Rousey be the main event?
That's a great question. I just find it hard to believe, unless WWE has a swerve in the works, that the Brooklyn crowd, a New York crowd, they're going to, in my opinion, they're going to not be satisfied if Roman Reigns walks away the Universal Champion. So I don't know. Is Ronda, you know, worthy of main eventing, being that last matchup where the fans are going to go happy if she beats Alexa Bliss? That's a great question, too. I've always said, and a lot of people have stated this, have Roman and Brock kind of like not towards the middle, but kind of somewhere near the end where you don't get that reaction, or you think WWE just doesn't care anymore. And they're like, listen, this is the guy, we're going to go with him, and to heck with all the boos from the Brooklyn crowd who think they know everything.
Yeah, you know that. That's right. That's a tough crowd. Chicago, Brooklyn, New York, obviously that's Brooklyn. Those are tough crowds right there. And Philadelphia is another. You got some tough crowds. Roman Reigns, though, with Paul Heyman, that's a different picture.
Yeah.
Because they all love Paul Heyman. So if you have Reigns win the bell and have Heyman by his side, I think you're going to hear more cheers than boos. I think a lot more cheers than boos. It's interesting, though, since we have seen this four times, though, Alexa Bliss, Ronda Rousey, this big push for women's wrestling, Evolution coming up in October. We just had the tapings of the Mae Young Classic. It would not surprise me with Bliss Rousey being actually the last match, and Lesnar Roman Reigns would be the one a couple before, or maybe even just before that. They usually like to have a softer match, I guess, before the main event, but that could be different and all. But I see Ronda Rousey is still obviously new at all this, but the reactions she's been getting have been great. And the reviews she's been getting for what little work she's done has been really good. So, and Alexa Bliss does a very good job in what role she plays. So you'll have others involved in that match, and it's something different. And they're building that up very strongly, too. And on the poster, it's both of them. At least it has been on the Brock Lesnar, Reigns, Alexa Bliss, Ronda Rousey have been on the poster, which I think is funny because you actually have two former UFC champions on the poster of the WWE huge SummerSlam events.
Yeah, in Brock.
I'd like to see Bliss Rousey just be the last match and just see how that goes. And I think the Brooklyn crowd will let everybody know how that goes.
Besides those two matches, is there any other match on this card that has got you interested in which direction they're going to go with?
Well, I don't know. I could just say, really look forward to see Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. With all their history of playing that up, I think that's really cool. That should be a really good match. And I like the Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins. Dean Ambrose coming back, even the score with Drew McIntyre there. I really like those two matches leading up to this SummerSlam. And I'll tell you, on the pre-show, I actually like seeing the B-team versus the Revival, because actually the Revival is a very classic old-school type of tag team that I like a lot. And the B-team, giving them credit, because Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel really were nothing. They were with the Miz Taraj, but they really helped elevate themselves too and have a chance to do something here, even though it's on the pre-show. I like when they give opportunity to others like that that are good workers, and I think all four are good hands. So I'm also, I guess, looking a little forward to that one on the pre-show as well.
You know, when we got to the whole Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ, and we were heading into WrestleMania, we were like already, you know, thinking about the Wrestle Kingdom matchup and thinking how this matchup is going to by far steal the show. I don't know how you felt about it, but to me, it kind of fell a little bit flat at Mania. I expected a little bit more. Maybe it was just I expected too much, that it really wasn't going to live up to my expectations. But then they had their final matchup, I believe Extreme Rules. And that matchup was probably the best one. Now you get another dream matchup where you're thinking, wow, this can't go wrong. AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, you go back to TNA and their classics that they had. Talk a little bit about this matchup. Do you think it's going to live up to expectations?
Yeah, they're both still tremendously skilled from when you look back at what they did in Impact Wrestling. AJ hasn't lost a step. Probably got better, and Samoa Joe is on par with what he was doing there, with what he's doing in WWE. So they let these two go, let them do their thing, and not put so many restrictions on them. I worry, because even though it's a long show, SummerSlam, actually 5 o'clock with the pre-show, an hour shorter than WrestleMania, I guess, but still, you're just talking 5 o'clock till probably 11 o'clock at night. I hope they have enough time to allow AJ Styles and Samoa Joe to give you enough time to have their good match. And I think that, and giving them the time, they'll be able to pull off a really good match still. And to me, that'll be really good, because no offense to Impact Wrestling, because I've been to Impact Wrestling, watched them, support what they're doing. But how many people watch them compared to WWE? Probably more people in England that watched Impact Wrestling than America, as far as that goes, that have seen a lot of the AJ Styles Samoa Joe. So I think you'll have a lot of new people seeing that AJ Styles Samoa Joe matchup. And it'll be in a WWE ring this time. So I think as long as they give them the time, they'll be able to put on a good show.
Dolph Ziggler, I'm happy for him now, because it seems like they've become a believer, or whether it's just the right pairing with Drew McIntyre, but it seems like they've given him the ball a little bit, and they could have done it a long time ago. You always thought they were going to start, but they usually stop. Are you surprised with Dolph Ziggler and his persona now as he heads into SummerSlam against Seth Rollins?
I don't know if I like Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. I like both of them. They're both incredible talents. Drew is, for his size, is just very agile, very good in the ring. Dolph can do it all. Dolph can work with anybody. I don't like the pairing of them together, though. I think that I was waiting. Yeah, actually, the other night, we knew it was going to be Seth against Dolph. But I was thinking for a minute, wouldn't it be cool if Drew turned on him and he signed the contract? But then what are you going to do with Seth for SummerSlam? So you can't leave him out. But I was like thinking maybe they're going to do something here with these two against each other, which I think would be incredible. It's good for Dolph, right? He gets a spot. I think he was getting a little complacent too, though. I mean, I can't speak for any of them, but in just watching it, he's been doing his thing over the years. He's had some high moments, big moments, and some spots, but nothing consistent per se. I remember he had some great matches with The Miz, even on house shows. Those two, I mean, tore it up. It was incredible. So Dolph can work. And putting him against Rollins and having Drew in the picture and Dean Ambrose, he got that two-thirds of the Shield in this, I think will be really good. But, yeah, Dolph, think about it. It's always easy for us to look at these things and say, how come they didn't do this with this one? Or how come this one didn't star? And how come they didn't do this? Well, you know, it works both ways, too. It's not just the company. It's the talent as well. It's got to be a match. It's got to work. It's got to be the right persona. It's got to be the right opponent. It's got to be the right direction. Is he or she comfortable with what they're doing? Is he or she putting their full effort into this? there's a lot of give and take. There's a lot of selling going on behind the scenes to get you going. I'm not behind the scenes. I don't know what was going on. I think WWE's always respected Dolph Ziggler, but it's always a situation where, come on, you got to raise it up a little bit. You got to go. Do we blame WWE? Yeah, of course. That's always the easy way out. But I mean, it was part of Dolph Ziggler's fault too. Who knows? But I think it's a good spot for him now. He's not showing us what he could do because he's always showing us what he can do. But he is getting to be, I wouldn't even say more high profile because he's not in the main event.
Yeah.
He's not in that level still. He can be, but I just mean Lesnar Reigns is the main event. I mean, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe is a bigger match on paper than Ziggler Rollins, even though that is an incredible matchup. I like both those matchups. But all I mean there is, yeah, they're giving him more time. I mean, he's had time in the past to do his thing. How many different portrayals of Dolph Ziggler have we seen over the years? He's been around a long time, too. And sometimes as fans, when we watch something for a long time, over and over again, whatever it is, it's hard to keep it fresh. It's hard to keep it in our eyes fresh because we've seen these things so many times. That's why I always say that's why TV shows don't last long anyway.
But yeah.
A good show on TV, a weekly series that's 20 minutes, may last 5 years, that's a good run, and they have a break, too, during the year. We're watching 5 hours of WWE live with no breaks, year-round. I mean, that's not even counting NXT 205 Live and whatever else they have going on. So I think in that scenario, Dolph Ziggler is in a good spot. I don't know if they're giving him more of a push than he's ever got. I think it's a good spot for him. It's a good push for him. We'll see what happens from here.
Yeah, not a fan of the hair, though. I mean, if you're naturally curly, leave it curly. Let's not, let's not flat iron that hair. That looks, I mean, you saw, the memes and the whole Triple H hair back in when he was with, it's just funny to me. But I'm glad you transitioned and talked about NXT because usually the night before is kind of the show stealer. And it's kind of what everyone talks about, especially during WrestleMania weekend, during SummerSlam weekend. And this one, too, now, Aleister Black, unfortunately, has an injury, will not be able to compete. So you get Gargano and Ciampa in the last man standing matchup here. What should we expect from TakeOver and this main event?
See, that's interesting, too, because these guys have battled a few times already, too, like Lesnar Reigns. But you have two quality talents that have done a lot in their careers already, and they're doing this last man standing match, so these guys can go. I actually rather would see these two match up again than a three-way, because I just think a three-way, it's like two wrestling and one waiting, then the other two wrestle and the other one waits. You got to work that all in, and that's fine. It's different. But I think letting these two guys go in a last-minute standing match with Ciampa as the champ is, I think, is a really cool thing. It'll be a really good matchup. But I'm really looking forward to Adam Cole versus Ricochet.
Yeah, it's kind of been in the back burner now. We really haven't, heard that much. I think Ricochet's been kind of dealing with a little injury. That's why he's kind of not wrestled as much. But you got two talents here, two big names that definitely, could steal the show, too. That could be another sleeper matchup heading into the whole SummerSlam weekend.
Yeah, the thing is, these guys were, I guess, wrestled. Ricochet did some media this week, so he said that they wrestled way back when, maybe like 2008, when they both were terrible. So on an Evolve show. And then they did some six-man tags in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, PWG, and also I believe it was New Japan. So they were involved in six-man tags later where they were better. He said that they did some house shows in Florida, some of the local NXT shows that they have, and he felt really good in there with him and says, yeah, Cole's one of the top-tier talents, and they're really looking forward to doing what they did on those house shows and stepping it up. So really going into this, that's the one match I'm really looking forward to, seeing those guys go at it and bring it. NXT is such a different brand. I always get that Ring of Honor, almost that New Japan, not to that degree, but a little bit of New Japan feel, but a Ring of Honor feel where it is more about the wrestling and less about the show and the entertainment, where obviously Raw and SmackDown, more about the show and the entertainment than about the wrestling. And not to take away from what they wrestle in the ring, because they all do well, but I just think NXT has a better vibe, not a better vibe, different vibe, which is good because we need something different. You don't have three shows that are the same. Got to get something different. So the allure of NXT and having that big event the night before SummerSlam right there at the same place, Barclays Center, it'll be a good night of wrestling. And, geez, there's so much going on that weekend. It'll be really, really good if you're a WWE fan, NXT fan, or both.
Talking to Jim Varsalone, follow him on Twitter at JimmyV3 from the Miami Herald. A lot of wrestling, especially in the Florida area that you cover too, so definitely want to check out his coverage of wrestling just in general too. And you're talking about wrestling everywhere. How great a time is it now, Jim, to be a wrestling fan? Because, you know, we're talking about SummerSlam here, and, you know, kind of don't want to go way too much into SummerSlam because to have you, I only get you every year. So I want to talk to you about a lot of other topics too. Let's talk about, really quick, Ring of Honor and New Japan selling out Madison Square Garden. That is historic. When you say that, you got to, like, pretend you're cleaning out your ears, and you'd be like, did I hear you correctly? New Japan and Ring of Honor sold out Madison Square Garden, which was Vince McMahon WWE territory. Just your thoughts real quick on that.
It doesn't surprise me because also the time of year it is. It's WrestleMania weekend. So they're filtering off WrestleMania, which shows do. And that's fine. I don't think it's going to hurt anyone as far as WWE goes because I think NXT is going to sell out too. There's that many fans that are there that they could sell out both shows. And I think it just gives fans an option. Okay, which one do you want to go to? Hey, really want to go to NXT? Oh, I missed out on tickets. Well, then maybe I could try Ring of Honor. Or I want to go to Ring of Honor New Japan. Oh, they ran out of tickets. I'll go to NXT. So you have now two choices. And one's not going to hurt the other. I really believe that. I think there's enough fans that will be there for that whole weekend that they'll be able to watch both shows. But, yeah, it is incredible that Madison Square Garden, the Mecca, WWE's original home, and you have someone else going in there and being able to sell out. It does speak to the time that we have nowadays with wrestling and just how some of these other groups that are nowhere near as big financially as WWE and the support like WWE are able to get something and pick up and do some things and have some big shows. How about All in Chicago with Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and what they were able to do and sell out, 10,000-11,000 people for that event? So there's some really good things going on. In Florida, my God, we've got so many things going on, whether it be the Performance Center where they train up in Orlando for WWE, where you have NXT doing their bases here, doing a lot of shows, MLW, which is a group.
Yeah, and
Sports USA.
In Orlando, they do their tapings there.
Yep. And I've not been to any of their tapings yet. They are coming to Fort Lauderdale in September for War Games at the War Memorial Auditorium, which is a great place to have War Games. How could you go wrong having it at the War Memorial Auditorium? So when they come down here for that, but some of the guys that I've known, some of the guys that are behind the scenes with them and that have worked for WWE Creative, actually, that are involved with that, like Kurt Bauer and Robert Karpelski and some of the others that Alex Greenfield, I don't really know. I've not met him, but some of the group there. Mr. St. Laurent didn't work for WWE, but he's been in wrestling for a long time. Running shows and doing things in Florida is really involved with them. But there's just so much. There's so many indies that are going on down here as well. It's just an interesting time. And wrestling in general, but also in Florida, really is a lot of things. I think the only thing we're missing now is Impact Wrestling is doing more TV tapings up in Toronto and Canada. Anthem Sports Entertainment is based in, I believe, Ottawa or in that area. But they're based in Canada. So now they're doing more TV tapings up there rather at Universal Studios in Orlando. So we lose some of that.
But they've kind of seemed to turn the tide too, though, right? They were coming off of Slammiversary, which was an enjoyable show to watch. I think they're kind of, you know, we don't know what happens now with Jeff Jarrett, who's suing Anthem all of a sudden, but put that on the back burner. But you kind of believe that maybe they've turned the corner, so to say, and maybe now they have some stability there with Scott D'Amore and Don Callis?
Those two, especially Scott D'Amore, he has such a good reputation, so that helps greatly. Impact Wrestling has always been strong in the United Kingdom, and I just don't know if it's financial and logistics that they don't do more there. I know they go there every once in a while. WWE is doing their thing now in the UK, but I don't know why Impact wouldn't do more in the UK because they're strong and the ratings are decent in the UK. They're strong in the UK when they go there. I don't see why they aren't doing more there than they are here, where really their ratings have been about the same. They've gone up and down, but not to making an impact there. And their shows are, they put on good shows too. They have some good talent and they have a good mix, but I just don't see Impact Wrestling. Look, Lucha Underground is doing it, I think, the right way. They're doing a TV show series. They work some, they don't do house shows. They're just focused on TV, and that works for them, and I think that's a great way to go. I think where you hurt yourself is when you look at the old school format and think, okay, we're on TV, now we can do house shows, now we can travel all around, and I don't think it resonates that way. I think Impact just does their big shows. They could do their big shows and their TV tapings, their big show, I should say, like a pay-per-view, Slammiversary, something like that. That's fine. And then do some international. Instead of doing house shows in Canada or the U.S., do international. Do something in England. Do something overseas like that. Maybe even look at Australia. Do something. I see if financially that'll work out for you and try to do it like that. I really don't see – I think the talent is decent, but I don't see too much of a push, a rise for them right now, and especially with all this, with all these other things that are on. I mean – I mentioned Lucha Underground. We also have MLW, I mentioned, and you've got Ring of Honor New Japan. There's a lot out there, and there's only so much you can do, so many fans that will watch. I mean, come on. We watch a lot of wrestling, but the average fan, how can they commit to watching all that wrestling on TV or on their apps or on the computer or however they want to watch it?
Just think about it. You're going to have to commit for this Saturday, as far as WWE, you're going to have to commit at least almost, you know, with Raw and then SmackDown Live. You're talking about, you know, like, you know, up to 10 hours of wrestling on the weekend.
It's crazy. That's crazy. And that's what I mean. Now you got all the other shows that are on.
Yeah.
Impact Wrestling, a few hours there. Lucha, an hour there. If you watch MLW and BN Sports USA, there's time for that. You have Access? Yes, Access TV.
Yeah, New
showing
Japan.
New Japan Pro Wrestling and all. So you got that going on. It's a lot of wrestling to digest, and it takes time to build it. But again, it's hard to keep everybody's focus on it for so many different types of wrestling companies that are out there. So Impact Wrestling, if they're happy with what they're doing and what's going on now, then they will obviously survive. They've survived all these years, and people will give them the death march. Oh, that's it. But somehow they're able to survive. So I don't count them out, but I just don't know how big they're going to get.
I understand. I'm talking to Brian Fritz, too. Brian's the one that's been scoring the most from Impact because he wants to believe in it. And then, you know, you have, you know, lawsuits, then wrestlers leave, then back and forth. So, so Brian's one of those that doesn't believe in Impact. I'm kind of believing that they turn the page. When you lock up someone like Tessa Blanchard, it's very key. When you have like an Austin Aries who, okay, if he's going to be there locked up and he's going to be your champion, fine. But again, it all comes down to whether they do the house shows or whether they, you know, get a following there.
You're right.
You know,
I mean, that's it. The house shows, I think, kill them.
Yeah,
kill them. I mean, remember when they had the TV tapings up there? That was in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the first time they had TV tapings. And they had to actually pay people as seat fillers to come in and watch. The pay-per-view sold well.
Yeah.
But then when they had the TV tapings, they had to do that. Now, I guess in Toronto, they don't have that issue, which is good. But, I mean, it's just not a house show profitable company.
Exactly.
So it's not. It's always like, I think it was Paul Heyman said, that if you have a wrestler and he can't do a drop kick, why are you going to ask him to do a drop kick? Same type of philosophy. If you have a wrestling show and they don't draw house shows, why are you doing house shows? But to say they're not going to survive, I don't know, because look how many years they've been around.
Yeah.
And they've had that, I mean, think of all the changes they've had from way back when they started. What's it been, 15, 16 years now?
Mm-hmm.
And people keep saying, that's it. Listen, the ratings that they're getting, they can survive. because they still are the highest rated show that Pop TV has.
Yeah.
They're still the highest rated show that Pop TV has. You can't look at the overall number and say, well, gee, WWE has this rating and this one has this rating and they're only doing a 0.7 or a 0.8 or whatever it is. And then you say, but they are the highest rated on Pop. And then how do they do in the demographic that they're in, that they really are targeting, the market is targeting for them and for the advertising on Pop TV? So there are other factors. So you can survive in this day and age with a rating under one, because it's more about how you're doing on that network.
Yeah,
how you're doing in demographics.
They talk about the ratings with WWE and how, you know, it's at 3.1 or it's down 15% or all that stuff. But then you think about it now, I think ratings now compared to when we were back in the Attitude Era when they were competing with WCW, I think now it's just distribution and subscribers on YouTube and, yeah, and other countries and the way they absorb the thing. So now I think ratings, if you can get, you know, what do they do? Like 100,000 viewers? I don't know the ratings for Impact that much, but if they can get a viewership, if they can get their YouTube subscriptions up, I think that that is important too. But yeah, I'm going to be optimistic.
There are people that won't watch. There are people that won't, that can't or won't watch it at the time it's on. So this gives them another watch. I always say that when you look at the ratings now for any show, not just, not just wrestling, sports, entertainment, for any show, you got to take it with a grain of salt because there are so many other ways to watch now.
Oh, whether yeah,
through your phone, through your computer, through your app, through YouTube, whatever it is, all these shows on Netflix, whatever way it is, there has to be a different number. It can't just be the Nielsen ratings anymore. It has to be more than that because people are watching it other ways than just TV. So when I see the ratings, I always think, okay, this is not the exact number. There has to be a little more. How much more? I don't know. I'm not a ratings person, so I don't know how much more and what percentage it is, but I do know it's more because people are watching other ways as well.
Man, Jim, and the fact that wrestling right now is so great that me and you can talk for half an hour about professional wrestling. Good God, this business is amazing right now that we have a platform where we can talk about something that we've loved from being kids to now being, you know, adults, and you know, it's amazing.
But let me say this.
Yeah.
Doesn't it change how different it is watching wrestling as a kid and as an adult?
Oh,
because when you're a kid, it's like everything's so larger than life. Everything is so fun and so cool. And then when we get older,
we're trying to book.
We start getting like old curmudgeons, and we pinpoint everything and look at everything.
We're trying to book
so much of it. And it's like, oh my God!
Oh, I can't believe.
I like to watch it through a kid's eyes again. Just go to a show. Don't creep out though. But like, look at some of the kids. See how the kids are reacting and stuff like that to things. You're like, yeah, I remember when that was me. Oh wow, that's cool.
Yeah, we all have our shows, and we think we're smarter than the business. And you know, I mean, what are you gonna do? But you know, we're fans, and I will tell you this one thing. You can never take away a wrestler's perspective and the way they see things, but I believe if you're a knowledgeable fan and you're not trying to just, you know, poo-poo everything that you see, I think there is I think our opinion does matter because I think we're fans. I think if we're fans, we're not those ones that just piss on everything because, oh, they're not doing it our way. I think there is a platform for our opinion, you know. You can never discredit what a wrestler believes, and we've never been in the ring though, but we do have that as far as like we know at least what entertains, and to me it's all about storytelling, Jim.
Yeah, a lot of it, of course. A lot of it is storytelling, and all of it, a lot of it is selling too.
Yeah.
Selling more than giving. I always say that if you get some of the best talent around are tremendous, they know how to really sell you that they're getting hurt, that they're taking a pounding, that they're being beat up, that just the kicks, the punches, everything, their arms, their legs, how they're thrown around and take a fall, a bump. To me, those are some of the better storytellers because they're able to do that part. I think everyone could learn to do the offense, but the defense and telling the story and selling what's going on in that ring, yeah, it's still there. And of course, yeah, the opinions are great. Like you said, the ones that are just so negative about everything, it's like, why do you bother watching? There's nothing you like. You get on here and you just rail, rail, rail. Why do you even watch then? And you can be constructive and you could have your opinion and not like something, But if there's nothing you like, I don't get it. They just like
it's the cool thing to do. It's the cool thing to do is to nitpick on every single thing. And man, Jim, I mean, we have talked about SummerSlam. We've covered a lot of topics here. And man, we can't make this just a yearly thing. You've got to come on here more often, man, because this has been a great conversation. I want to end it though on a somber note. I don't want to, but I think we have to pay tribute to Jim the Anvil Neidhart, because this past week we lost a legend, one of the best tag teams was the Hart Foundation growing up for me. And of course, you know, Brett was the technician, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart was power and force. And just your thoughts real quick, how do you remember Jim the Anvil Neidhart?
Yep, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, former football player turned wrestler, just was a powerhouse. The laugh and the way he tugged at his goatee, that's what I'll remember about Jim the Anvil Neidhart. He actually, I remember this, I had to look up the year, but in 2013, the Marlins baseball team had Legends of Wrestling Night at the Marlins game. And two of the legends that were there were Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And we were there, we did some video and some interviews with them and all, and Jim was like so like on edge, shaking and twitching and moving around, and we were like, God, what's wrong with him? What's going on and all? You know, there's something going on here, something going on. That was back in 2013. Then later, see him on Total Divas. And, God, I was like, that's not the same Anvil I saw, because he looked so much better. Mm-hmm. So whatever his issues were then, he was able, hopefully, I guess, or at least it looked that way, he was able to control him, whether it was something self-induced or whether it was something that just he had to deal with, like Parkinson's or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to say that and say, like, oh, he had Parkinson's. No. But all I meant was it drugs? Was it something else, an ailment? I don't know. But something was going on there. But it was so good to see him on Total Divas not like that.
It seemed
like everything was cool. And I was like, great. I was like, it was 2013 till 2017. I says, this is good. This is how I want to remember him, not from that night and everything. And he spoke all right, but just gosh, it just didn't look right. And I had so many people on there like commenting about him back then, and even now. I guess the video came up again because people were checking out Jim Neidhart information and all, and just making comments and all. And it was just like, but those are the memories I have of him. I remember that night. I remember him then Total Divas, and then when he was a wrestler, I remember him too, just being as that, like you said, just a power force, strong guy. And just the laugh. The laugh was really cool and all. It just was something to see. And you just see how everybody in the wrestling community comes together when something like that happens. And, of course, he went too soon, but he did have a good life, did have a good career, and a good family, and just the fruits of his labors. It's nice to see that continue and all.
Yeah, I mean, again, to a very memorable character in professional wrestling. You remember Jim the Anvil Neidhart. You remember his mannerisms. And, of course, part of, in my opinion, the best or one of the best tag teams in all professional wrestling. Jim, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. Listen, this weekend, man, it's going to be SummerSlam weekend. You got NXT TakeOver. You got SummerSlam. And, of course, the aftermath of Raw and SmackDown. And then, of course, the NXT. So much going on. Jim, don't be a stranger, man. I saw you and Brian and Scotty there take a picture there. I don't know if it was for the Mae Young Classic or...
Yeah, it was the Mae Young Classic.
How'd it go?
Jay also from the Orlando Sentinel was there. So it was like the band is back together. That's the thing.
Well, we're the Jersey Wrecking Crew up here in Jersey, so you guys are the Florida Wrecking Crew. That's what I'm going to call you.
We're the Florida Wrecking Crew.
Exactly.
I'm going to say this. Sunday for SummerSlam, 5:00 pre-show, probably ending about 11:00. Have a lot of popcorn ready. It's 6 hours, man. It's 6 hours. I love it, but come on, 6 hours.
I know. Maybe you don't catch the pre. Maybe you just put it in at 7 and or something. You got to cut something out, because if you have time for the whole weekend, then you'd really love
it. Not as long as Mania. Mania's 7 hours.
Oh, man. Listen, Jim, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And thank you so much. Again, you can find him, all his coverage at the Miami Herald and, of course, on Twitter at JimmyV3. Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that was Jim Varsalone from the Miami Herald. Man, we got to talk to him more than on a yearly basis. We got to have him on more. I mean, that was just awesome. Of course, he's based out in Florida. A lot of wrestling action in Florida, and definitely glad to have Jim Varsalone on the show this week as we gave you your SummerSlam preview. So we're going to go real quick here. We're going to go with your SummerSlam predictions here. We're going to run them off here, and let's see how good I do. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns for the Universal title. I am going to go Roman Reigns. Finally, pulling that monkey off his back and beating Brock Lesnar. We got AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. I am going to go AJ Styles retaining that in that matchup right there. So I'm going to go Roman Reigns and AJ Styles. I'm going to say Ronda Rousey walks away the new Raw Women's Champion. I'm going to say that Carmella finds a way and retains the SmackDown Live Women's Championship in that triple threat against Charlotte and Becky Lynch. I'm going to go Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler in that matchup. I am going to go Seth Rollins. I'm going to go Seth Rollins walks away and becomes a new IC Champion. Of course, the returning Dean Ambrose is back. And also kudos to Renee Young for being the first ever woman to commentate a full episode of Raw. So a lot of stuff happened on Monday night. The return of Dean Ambrose, Renee Young making history. So it was an eventful week on Raw. But Seth Rollins will walk away as the new IC champ with Dean Ambrose in his corner. I'm going to say Shinsuke Nakamura keeps the United States Championship over Jeff Hardy. I'm going to say that the New Day walks away the new tag team champions over the Bludgeon Brothers. Happy belated birthday to Kofi Kingston. And I'm going to say Braun Strowman retains that briefcase, that Money in the Bank, over Kevin Owens. I don't see Braun Strowman cashing in at SummerSlam. I just think that they're going to go with Roman Reigns. I think he's the man now. And I think we will maybe see a lead-in to where maybe the next Monday night Braun might cash in or might make his first attempt. But I see Roman Reigns walking away finally the Universal Champion. We got Finn Balor versus Constable Baron Corbin. I'm going to say Finn Balor gets the victory over there. Daniel Bryan over The Miz. I don't know what Daniel Bryan's status is, but I don't see him leaving WWE. But I think that a Miz victory here sets up an amazing feud heading into the wintertime. So I'm going to go that The Miz gets a win here over Daniel Bryan. And you've got the pre-show matches. You've got Rusev and Lana against Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. I'm going to go with the dynamic duo of Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. The B team against The Revival. Let's go with The Revival winning the Raw Tag Team titles. And then, of course, the WWE Cruiserweight Championship match between Cedric Alexander and Drew Gulak. I'm going to say that Cedric Alexander retains the Cruiserweight title. So that is everything going on for SummerSlam. And then, of course, an amazing NXT TakeOver. I don't know the direction they're going to go with Ciampa and Gargano. You think that Gargano gets the victory over Ciampa, but I just don't know what they're going to do. Whether it's the right time to take that title off Ciampa. Ciampa has done amazing things on social media as that heel champion, and he is on an amazing run right now. And of course, Aleister Black hurt and not being able to compete in this triple threat match, so it's a last man standing match at TakeOver. You've got an amazing match between Adam Cole and you've got Ricochet. You've also, for the North American Championship, you've got the Velveteen Dream and EC3. That's another amazing matchup, too. So Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane for the NXT Women's Championship. And then you've got also, too, Mustache Mountain against Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. So those are amazing matches that you're going to see at NXT TakeOver. And it starts this Saturday. Now, it may be too early to talk about a post-show for NXT TakeOver, but we're going to try to do our best and give you a SummerSlam post-show on Sunday right after SummerSlam. We are working on it. We will announce it later on this afternoon if we were going to do that on Twitter. So check out all social media, but definitely you will hear from the High Spot Podcast much sooner than later after SummerSlam 2. And then, of course, yeah, and the next time you're going to see us is going to be at Boardwalk Beatdown, August 24th and 25th. It starts with the Dinner with the Stars on Friday night. We will be there with a show, High Spot Podcast. We will talk to the stars. You got guys like James Ellsworth, Brian Cage, Melissa Santos, Rich Swann, Sue Young. They're all going to be there, so we will try our best to get as many interviews as possible for Boardwalk Beatdown, and it starts with Dinner with the Stars. We will be there, and of course, August 25th, you got Standalone Wrestling at night, their after party, but before that, you've got the huge Boardwalk Beatdown convention headlined by Goldberg, Sting, and the Bullet Club. So before All In, the very next weekend, end, you've got a mini all-in here at Boardwalk Beatdown, headlined by Goldberg, Sting, and Bullet Club. And when we talk about Bullet Club, we're talking about Cody. We're talking about Brandi Rhodes. Talking about Hangman, Marty, and the Bucks. They will be there. And not only that, folks, also... Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Haku will be at Boardwalk Beatdown, so anything can happen. What happens if, you know, they run into each other and then there could be a whole riot there? Brian Cage has promised an open challenge to any member of the Bullet Club there. Will that happen for standalone wrestling? So many things can happen that weekend, and that is why the Trendsetter is on assignment, scoping at the scene, Atlantic City, the Claridge Hotel. It's going to be an amazing time, and the High Spot Podcast is going to be there. But then after that, the quick turnaround, because we've got All In that weekend, August 30th to September 2nd, we will be on Podcast Row in Chicago. Thank you to StarCast for making everything possible for the High Spot Podcast to be there. And of course, we are the High Spot Podcast on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. It is Brian Fritz's baby, and he's got the flagship show there. And the Trendsetter was a guest host one of those weeks. It is Between the Ropes, which downloads every Wednesday with brand new episodes. You've got amazing shows like The Cosmic Geppetto, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Myers and Justin Simmons from Austin, Texas. We will see them at Podcast Row for All In. And of course, Stick to the Gimmick. So you want all your NXT stuff. You want everything. You want the recap analysis. Everything. Go to Stick to the Gimmick. Spencer Davies and Martin Harp have amazing, amazing analysis for NXT. And of course, we can't leave out the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks. We are nothing without them. And you've got such great podcasts like Kicking Ass Podcast with Jesse and Andy, Shot of Wrestling, and of course, Outsider's Edge with Mark Adam Haggerty. Mark, we love you. Thank you for everything that you do for the High Spot Podcast. Guys, make sure you follow us on Twitter and all our social media, High Spot Podcast, folks. We got promos coming up. We're going to have giveaways at Boardwalk Beatdown. More giveaways in Chicago. If you want to advertise with us, go to highspotpodcast.com. Get your name out there for your wrestling company, for anything you want out there. It is going to be an amazing time at All In. Get your product out there, too. We will have new banners, of course, there on display for Boardwalk Beatdown and for All In. And of course, I am Jeff Martin, and I couldn't do this without the Trendsetter, again, who is on assignment, but we do this show for all you guys. We will be previewing Boardwalk Beatdown next week, so we do this, guys. We put out all this content for you. This show is definitely, you know, not just our baby, but it's your baby, and we do this for you, the crew.